Something special happens when we flip the calendar over. We flip it from 2017 to 2018, and it's kind of bizarre because nothing is actually different. The calendar is something we came up with, and one day is really no different than the next. But for whatever reason, when we flip the calendar, it feels momentous. And it's a time of reflection, looking back, and also hope looking forward. And as we look forward to the new year, you know, it's a time of thinking what could change in this year and what our hopes for the year, our direction for the year, our goals for the year, what we want to see that's going to be different in our lives in this coming year. And we even have a word for it, resolutions, right? We make these resolutions. We are resolute and we want to see something happen. And typically our resolutions as we face a new year, they're things we want to see happen. We're going to get in shape this year. We're going to exercise more. We're going to eat less. We're going to stop that bad habit I have. I'm going to deal with that. I'm going to spend more time in this area of my life, which I know is important. 2018, a new year, just leads us to kind of looking in our lives and making these resolutions, these things we want to see changed. And what all these things have in common is they're all behaviors, right? This is really an exercise in behavior modification. I want to do this. I want to stop doing this thing that I know is bad for me, or I want to begin to do this thing that is good for me. And it's, I want these behaviors to change in my life. And as I'm coming into a new year, I want to really work on these behaviors. And that's what the new year kind of leads us to do. And we're going to see today that this form of behavior modification, although not necessarily a bad thing, but it's not the thing. And as we give our attention to behavior modification, we miss the most important thing. And there's something more important than just behavior modification in our life. We're going to see that when we're just on behavior modification, we're kind of missing the point. And we're even going to see that our efforts to behavior modification are even futile compared to the most important thing. And so this morning, we're going to be talking about something deeper than that. So if that's surface level, going something deeper than just changing our behavior, we're going to move in kind of a next level of life change, a change that will last in our life, not one that's done by January about 15th, right? It's usually when we give up those resolutions. So to start us off, I want you to open your Bibles to Mark chapter 4. Mark chapter 4. And we're going to see Jesus. We're going to start off this message today by looking at Jesus' words to the Pharisees. And he's got some strong words for them, some corrections he's making to the Pharisees. And as you're turning to that Mark chapter 7, a little context. The Pharisees, along with the Sadducees, they're the religious leaders of that day. They are they're into the religious things. They are masters of behavior modification. They have brought behavior modification as far as it can go. These guys love the law. They love obeying the rules. And they have dedicated their lives to obeying the rules. These guys win on New Year's Day every day. Every New Year's Day, they win. As far as resolutions go, these guys have it to the extreme. They are so into the law that they created a law greater than the law to make sure that they wouldn't disobey the law. For instance, if there was a law that said you must be in bed by 10 p.m., they added a law that said, well, you really should be in bed by 8 p.m., just to be sure you're not out till 10 p.m., and they would expand the law to make sure that they followed the law. So they were very good at behavior modification, masters of it. As good, they were the best humans had to offer as far as behavior modification. And let's see what Jesus has to say to these masters of behavior modification. Chapter 7, I'm going to start in verse 1. I'm going to read verses 1 to 7. Okay. The Pharisees and some of the teachers of the law who had come from Jerusalem gathered around Jesus and saw some of his disciples eating food with hands that were defiled, that is unwashed. Uh-oh. Verse 3, the Pharisees and all the Jews do not eat unless they give their hands a ceremonial washing, holding to the tradition of the elders. That's bigger than the law, tradition of the elders. That's their own thing. When they come from the marketplace, they do not eat unless they wash. And they observe many other traditions, such as the washing of cups, pitchers, and kettles. Verse 5, so the Pharisees and teachers of the law asked Jesus, why don't your disciples live according to the tradition of the elders instead of eating their food with defiled hands? Listen to Jesus' reply. He replied, Isaiah was right when he prophesied about you hypocrites. Uh-oh. As it is written, these people honor me with their lips, but their hearts are far from me. They worship me in vain. Their teachings are merely human rules. And he says, you have let go of the commands of God and are holding on to human traditions. So Jesus looks at their behavior modification and doesn't say, you are so right. You guys and your hand washing is that you have reached that you've found holiness. Instead, he calls them hypocrites. Someone who says one thing but kind of does another. That has an outward display, but inwardly something else is going on. And he identifies the true problem in their lives, and it wasn't their behavior. The problem, he says, I know you guys put on a good show, but the fact of the matter is their hearts are far from me. And he boiled down to this issue, that their hearts are far from him. Let's keep reading. I'm going to skip down to verse 14, talking more about this. Again, Jesus continuing to talk to the Pharisees, verse 14 to 23. Again, Jesus called the crowd to him. So he called everyone, hey guys, check this out. He called the crowd to him and said, listen to me, everyone, and understand this. Nothing outside a person can defile them by going into them. Rather, it is what comes out of a person that defiles them. After he had left the crowd and entered the house, the disciples asked him about this parable. Are you so dull, he asked. Don't you see that nothing that enters a person from the outside can defile them, for it doesn't go into their heart, but into their stomach and out of the body. In saying this, Jesus declared all foods clean. Verse 20, he went on. What comes out of a person is what defiles them. Why? For it is from within, out of a person's heart, that evil thoughts come. Sexual immorality, theft, murder, adultery, greed, malice, deceit, lewdness, envy, slander, arrogance, and folly. All these evils come from inside and defile a person. So he says the real issue going on here, the real issue isn't just the behavior, there's something deeper. There's something greater going on, it's the heart. He said, that's the issue here. They had hearts far from me, and that's a problem because the heart is a source of all that behavior. And yeah, I know you're good at polishing it up and changing some of these behaviors, but the fact of the matter is the real issue is much deeper. It's an issue of the heart. That's what matters in this. And that's going to be our central truth this morning. As we talk this morning, we start off the new year, our first Sunday of 2018, I want us to start off with this truth on the forefront of our minds, and it's this. Your heart is the most important thing about you.
Amen.
Your heart is the most important thing about you. And when I say your heart, you know I'm not talking about the muscle that's inside of you that's just beating and distributing blood to all parts of your body. This isn't a message about eating right so that, you know, getting fatty foods out of your diet and heart health. This, when I say the heart, we all understand the heart as the inner you, who you really are. We have a display. We have a cover to the book. We have a version of ourselves we put forward. I'm not talking about that. I'm talking about the real you, what's going on the inside, your thoughts, your dreams, your hopes, your desires, your motivations, your will, what you want to see happen, all that. Jesus wasn't impressed with the Pharisees' outward show and their behavior. He wasn't impressed with that. And they were pretty good at the behavior thing. He wasn't impressed with that because the true issue is the heart. So it's important for us to understand this morning what God is most interested in our life is the heart. That's what matters most to him. That's what he's most interested in. There's a famous account in 1 Samuel where God identifies the next king of Israel as David. And he calls all these guys are called out, all the brothers are called out, and they're very kingly in their appearance. And the humans are thinking, well, it must be this guy, it must be that guy. Look at how kingly they are. And God says, no, 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 until Daniel comes up, the least kingly of them, the least impressive, the shortest, the shepherd, the one that deals with sheep, that guy, that's who God picks as the next king of Israel. Why? Because in verse 7 of chapter 16, it says, the Lord does not look at the things people look at. People look at the outward appearance, but the Lord looks at the heart. The heart is what matters most to God. So that happened thousands of years ago picking David, and that happened with the hypocrite or with the Pharisees in front of Jesus. When they were all very impressed with their behavior, he looked right past that behavior and looked into the heart and said, nah, hypocrites. You guys, you're not impressing me right now. God, humans, we look at the outside. God looks at the inside. Luke 16:15 says, you are the one, Jesus talking, he says, you are the ones who justify yourselves in the eyes of others, but God knows your heart. So again, it's, we're so busy trying to impress others, trying to gain the approval of others, trying to act like we're supposed to act in all the ways we carry ourselves and the choices we make. God's not as interested in that. Humans are. Humans are all about that. God is not. God is more interested in the heart. What's going on the inside. That's what matters most to God. Therefore, that should matter what's most to us. That should be what we're most interested in. As we're starting 2018, the inside of us should matter way more than the outside of us. It's the most important thing you got going on in your life. As you start this new year, what matters most about you is your heart. What's going on the inside is more important than your bank account.
Thank you.
I said it. Is that one of those church things that we just say, but we don't really believe? It's more important than your bank account. It's more important than your job. It's more important than that perfect relationship or imperfect relationship. It's more important than your waistline. That, you know, it's more important than that. It's more important than, I'll even say it's more important than your behavior. It's more important than your behavior. Now, careful. I'm not one that falls into camp and says, it don't matter what you do because whatever, you know, God, our behavior doesn't matter. Your behavior matters. We talk about that plenty here. Okay, behavior matters. And if you think behavior doesn't matter, that shows you don't really get it. And the Bible's clear about that because our behavior shows if we get it or don't get it. And if you don't care about your behavior, that shows you don't really understand your walk with Christ. So I'm not saying behavior don't matter, but I'm saying we're going about it all wrong when we focus on behavior and don't look at the heart. Because as Jesus says, the heart serves as the source of everything else going on in our lives. It's the source of our behavior. In verse 21, he said, "For it, why does the heart matter so much? For it is from within, out of a person's heart, that evil comes." That the heart is the source of our behavior. It's the source of our actions. It's the source of what we do. It all comes from our heart. And when we focus so much, we give all our attention to behavior modification. I'm going to fix this part of my life. I'm going to give that thing up. I'm going to stop doing these unhealthy things. I'm going to start doing these healthy things. And we grit our teeth and we give all our attention to behavior modification. And we bust our tails and we work so hard and we do the best we can. And you know what? And maybe we work so hard and we finally fix that behavior. We fix it. You know what happens next? Your heart's just going to replace it with something else. Because the issue is the heart. So as much as we fix that one behavior, if the heart's not right, just another behavior is going to come in right behind and fix it. Or come right behind and replace it. I have some OCD tendencies. I recognize that in myself. And we joke about OCD like, oh, you know, that means everything's got to be in rows. That's kind of true. But for me, it's more like rituals, little habits, rituals, that these strong impulses. And I've seen it as a kid, and I recognize it in my life, and there are little things I can deal with, so it's not a big deal. But I see, I've passed that down to my son, Luke, that I see it in him. And it's something about, if you've got kids, you know this, when you see it in your kid, it like is shocking. You're like, oh, we got it, it's horrible, right, in your kid, even though it's in you as well. So I see this in him, these rituals. He comes up with these little habits, and nothing big, and I'm sure nobody else even notices them. It's just Val and I, because we're with him all the time. And so I work real hard with them to try to get rid of these little rituals. Because there'll be one very dominant ritual that he does. And I will work very hard to get rid of that. But here's what we found. We work so hard, we battle that thing for months. And we come up with reward systems and punishments. And we just work real hard at it. And then we finally shakes it. And Val and I are like, oh, yes. And I tell you, it's not like a day later, he's got a different one. Something else happens. And I'm not saying that, but I'm saying because this is me too. And the reason I share that is our heart is the same way. We work so hard to fix that bad behavior. I'm going to stop doing that thing, or I'm going to start doing this thing I know I need to do. But as soon as we get that thing done, we're like, I did it. I conquered that thing. And then another thing steps right in and replaces it in our life. Because the issue isn't the behavior. The issue's the heart. Okay, the issue is the heart. Now, again, I'm not saying that means don't worry about your behavior, because behavior is important because it reveals the heart. Our behavior provides a picture into the heart. In Proverbs, it says, just as the face is reflected in water, or like in a mirror, so our lives reflect our heart. Like, if there's a gauge, you know, you have your gas gauge that you're driving, you can't see into your gas tank. You're just driving, but there's a gauge that tells you how much gas is in there. Well, in the same way, you can't see into your heart, but your actions reveal, it's like a gauge to what's really going on in your heart. So your actions do matter, but when we're just about fixing our actions, we're missing the true point, again, because the heart is the source of what's going on. So our behavior is the symptom, the heart's the problem. See how that's different? The behavior is a symptom, heart's just a problem. So we can deal with the symptoms as much as we want, but if we're not dealing with the problem, it's just going to be more and more symptoms. You guys remember when I broke my foot years ago now? I had to preach up here in a cast and all that. So I hurt it playing basketball. And like someone who plays basketball a lot, I thought it was just an ankle. And so I wrapped it up and I iced it and I slept on it and thought it's going to be fine. I got up the next morning to walk it off. And boy, I stepped on that thing. Oh, I took a lot of ibuprofen, right? Because it helps the swelling and also helps the pain. So I took a lot of ibuprofen thinking that was helping. And then the next morning, I went to walk out. I put my foot on it. It was like someone put a hot poker in my foot. I mean, I never felt pain like that. And because the issue was, I wasn't dealing with the problem. I was dealing with the symptoms. I was just taking ibuprofen, thinking, okay, I'm helping this thing. And then I went to walk on it, and it shows the issue wasn't the symptoms. The issue was the broken bone in my foot. And how we view our behavior is like that. We spend all our time gritting our teeth and battling those behaviors, trying to change that behavior, when in reality, it's just a symptom of a true problem, that there's something else going on, and it's in our heart. We have a heart issue. Another thing like that, at our house, whenever we turn the oven on, do you guys have to do this? You turn on the oven and you take down the smoke detectors? We have to do that because it just smokes, right? And so we're always standing with a fan. We have a broom, and we have to do this when we use our oven. And then finally we took down our smoke detectors because don't do that. That's dangerous. They're there for a reason. But you don't want to hear the beeping. But the issue is because we keep dealing with the symptoms. There's smoke. Deal with the symptoms. Until finally we've been doing this for what, Val, about 3 months? And until finally, I was like, I spent $4.99 on a thing of oven cleaner, and I dealt with the actual problem, and now it doesn't smoke. And again, that was so much helpful. But again, I think in our lives, we're trying to bat the smoke away when not dealing with the real issue that the oven needed to be clean. And so in our lives, again, our behavior is just a symptom. It's the show. And the real issue, what's causing it, is a problem in our heart. And so instead of giving all our time and attention on the behaviors, like I'm going to grit my teeth and do this, we need to focus on our heart. Again, behaviors matter, but the heart is the true source of those behavior is what matters most. And I'd like to point out, this isn't just true in your life, but also in your loved ones' lives. Because we get so frustrated with our loved ones, right? With their behaviors. Why do they act that way? They need to stop acting. They need to stop doing that thing. If they stop doing that thing, I'm going to nag them until they stop doing that thing. Or I'm going to, if the problem is that thing, if they would just stop that action or they would start doing this other action, then life would be so much better. And we do the same thing. But we forget, back to the same truth, it's just as true as, if it's true for us, it's just true as everyone else. The issue isn't that behavior. The issue is a heart issue. So we need to change the way we pray for our loved ones, that it wouldn't just be like, man, they would stop getting on my nerve. Instead, we would pray for a heart transformation, the real issue. Because as much as you make life difficult on them every time they do that thing, that'll work for maybe a week, 2 weeks. It's just going to come back. It is, because the issue is the heart. It just comes to the surface. So not in just how we view ourselves, but how we view others. Our loved ones, not just the loved ones, but our community, our neighborhood. You see, when we're doing our Bless the Block, it's a great ministry. We're serving the community. It's a connecting point of the neighborhood. But there's some of us get real frustrated because people act like they do. And we got to remember, the reason they act like they do, maybe they're ungrateful or maybe they're taking more than their share or they're running game and we all see it and they don't think we see it, but we do. Maybe all that's going on and we get frustrated. Well, again, the issue, of course they're going to act that way. They got a heart issue. And the heart's going to work its way out in behaviors. And so when we see our own lives, when we see our loved ones, when we see the community, when we see anybody that we're interacting with, we've got to remember, the behavior is just a symptom of the real issue. It's the heart. And all that should tell us is, oh man, that person needs Jesus so much right now. They need to know God's love and forgiveness. They need life transformation from the inside. So that's what we're going to be talking about. We're starting a four-week series talking about the heart. This is week one, as we're just kind of kicking this thing off, as we're going to be talking about the heart, about God doing a work in our heart. And we're doing a four-week series. We're going to be talking about the fallen nature of our heart. We're going to be talking about, what Christ has done for our heart. And ultimately, we're going to be talking about the purpose of the redeemed heart. What's our heart really about? And what was it created for? And so we're going to be talking about that for the next 4 weeks about the heart. And so we can start off 2018 doing that work, committing our lives to committing our heart to God. So that's our hope. So today, we want to start this off by talking about the goal of our hearts. So if the issue is a heart issue, what should our heart be about then? What's the goal of our heart? What does God want to see out of our heart? What does God want to see? And we see all through the Bible a pretty consistent message when it comes to the heart. A pretty consistent message. And we see God's desire for a pure heart. Pure heart purity is something we see all over the place in the Bible. You start looking for heart, you're going to see pure right next to it. Purity of heart. Jesus starts off the Sermon on the Mount. And he says to everybody that have gathered around, he said, blessed are the pure in heart, for they will see God. And we're going to see that theme, but it's not just there. It's all through the Bible. Blessed are the pure of heart, for they will see God. So purity of heart is something that we should aspire for. If we're saying our heart's an issue, well, what's the issue? What's the thing that needs to change? What is it about our heart? Well, we're going to see purity is what God is after in our heart. And so that's something that we need to prioritize. So what does that mean, purity of heart? Like, I bet we have, in every person, we've got a different definition of that in our heads right now. That's probably all that's going on. So we need to get clarified. When God says purity of heart, what's he talking about? So we're going to go to some different passages that talk about purity of heart to see what they all say. And we're going to see they say mostly the same thing. They're written thousands of years apart, but they say mostly the same thing about purity of heart. So in these I put these in your bulletin, these Bible passages in your bulletin, because I want you to see them with your own eyes. And to see what they have to say, what God has to say about purity of heart. So first one we're going to look at is in Psalm 23, and this is David's view of a pure heart. According to David, what is a pure heart? So that's the first one there I'm going to read to you, 24 verses 3 and 4. This is what David writes. Who shall ascend the hill of the Lord, and who shall stand in his holy place? He who has clean hands and a pure heart, who does not lift up his soul to what is false and does not swear deceitfully. So these two verses, this passage, the premise is who gets to be with God? Who will be in God's presence? Who will see God? Who will know God? Who will experience God, right? So who shall ascend to the hill of the Lord? Who shall stand in the holy place? So that's talking about God's presence. So how do we be in God's presence? And he says, well, he who has clean hands and a pure heart. That's what's key in this. This purity of heart. And then he goes on to talk about what it means to have a pure heart. Who does not lift up his soul to what is false and does not swear deceitfully. So there's something about a lie in there, right? You guys catch that? False and deceitful. So he brings up this idea of a lie, about this false living, about showing one way, but really being a different way, a deceitful life. It's more than just someone who tells lies. I don't think this is talking about that. It seems like it's talking about something deeper than someone who tells lies. It's someone who lives the lie. Someone who gives a public display one way, but in reality something different is going on in their lives. Someone that says, I'm all about this one thing, but in reality they're about other things. So it's kind of this divided nature, you see, that of not really being completely about what they say they're about. He talks about that being purity of heart. Those who are pure in heart are those who do not lift up their souls to what is false, so not give themselves to these false things, and does not swear deceitfully. So this idea of living for something, saying one thing, but living a different way, instead living up. So he's saying those who say they live for God, but they've lifted up their souls to something false. So that's how David refers to this idea of a pure heart. Let's see James. Let's see what James has to say, what he has to add to this. James 4, verse 8, again in your bulletin. This is what James, thousands of years later, says about a pure heart. Draw near to God, and he will draw near to you. Cleanse your hands, you sinners, and purify your hearts, you men of double mind. Isn't it interesting that both these passages, the context is, how do we experience God? They're both asking the same question. One is, how do I ascend to the holy place? This one says, how do I draw near to God? How do I draw near to God? So it's, they're addressing the same issue, and they both have the exact same answer. Clean hands, pure heart. Same answer. Thousands of years later, directed by the Holy Spirit, these two different men who'd never met each other, they're tons of generations away from each other, and yet they pen the same thing. How do you experience God? Clean hands, pure heart. And then James, just like David, defines what that pure heart is. And he says, you need to have a pure heart, you men of double mind. Double-mindedness. Saying the issue is double-mindedness that needs to get cleaned up. When he says double-mindedness, can you imagine what that means? Being about two things, not one thing. Saying you're about one thing, but really being about something else. Having a divided allegiance. Double-minded about he's not just having your heart committed to God, but committing to your heart to God plus fill in the blank. Heart committed to God plus I'm also committed to these other things. And he talks about that as a pure heart. So when we set our minds after the things of God and the things of the world, that's what James is talking about here. So this, he refers to it as a double-mindedness, about our mind after two things. And the crux of the issue here, the crux of the issue is having our hearts, very clear, right? And both of these say something similar. Having our hearts divided into two camps. Not just after God, but after God plus something else. So David refers to that as kind of a deceitful way of life, saying you're just about God, but really about other things. James refers to it as a double-mindedness, about having your heart set after some things, or having your heart set after God, but also set after other things, things of the world as well. Let's add in Jesus now. Jesus, talking about a pure heart, says, you shall love the Lord your God with all your heart. See how it's the same message, but in three different ways, from three different spirit leading all these messages, but the same thing. What God most wants to see from our heart is a heart fully devoted to Him. That we love Him with all our heart. Not living a lie, saying we're all about God, but really about we're other things. Not living double-mindedly about saying we're about God, but we're also about these things of the world. But he said purity of heart. All three of them are kind of saying the same thing. Purity of heart means loving God only. And that's our next fill in the blank. A heart that is pleasing to God seeks only God. A heart that is pleasing to God seeks only God. That's what God wants to see out of our hearts. If the issue is a heart, the heart that is right is one that seeks Him only. Now, this is significant because we live in a world that provides a lot of options for the heart. A lot of good options, right? There's some great stuff on Netflix. There's some great things you can get with money. There's some great options the world offers. And the world, its specialty of the world is to grab your heart and to pull it to itself. The world's saying, give me your heart, O follower of God. And maybe the world isn't turning you to full on. Maybe the world knows, hey, I'm not going to be able to turn this person away from God completely, but I can get some of their attention. And I can get their focus. And the world is happy with God plus. If we would settle with God plus, and the world's happy with that, God plus the perfect career, God plus that perfect relationship, God plus everything that money could buy, God plus all the leisure activities I enjoy so much, God plus all that. When we set our minds on those things, that's an impure heart. Because purity of heart from David, from James, from Christ himself, this message spread over thousands of years by the Holy Spirit, is single-minded devotion to God. Having our minds fixed on Him and following Him alone. And here's the thing. This is why this is so important. We don't believe this. We think we're doing pretty darn good as long as we add God to what we're already about. We think that's success. And our version of success is, well, I'm already about A, B, and C. Those are my main things I'm about. And if I add God to that, well, that's doing pretty good. As long as I just add being about God to those things, and that's something that we could, you know, that's, we're better than most people. But he was very clear in all these passages. He's not interested in part of you. He wants all of you. He wants all of your heart. He doesn't want just your free time. He doesn't just want Sunday mornings from, you know, 9 to 11. 10:30 was the first time here. So, what, they go to 11? No, 10:30. He's not just interested in a piece of you, and hopefully that he's just kind of around and we would give him our attention now and then. What God is after is single-hearted devotion, to love the Lord your God with all your heart. That's what he's after in our lives. And we think, oh, I'm doing pretty good. I'm adding him in. You know, I'm including him in my life. I mean, better than nothing. However, what God is after when he's talking about purity of heart is a single-minded devotion. And isn't it interesting that when we do this, when we fix our heart on God alone, all these verses say that's when we experience God. The pure of heart who experiences God. You guys caught that, right? In all three of those verses. How do you enter the most holy place? That was the first one in Psalms. How do we enter the most holy place? How do we enter God's presence and experience God? It says those with clean hands and pure hearts. The next one was, how do we draw near to God? I want to draw near to, he seems so distant. How do I draw near to God? Cleanse hands, pure heart. That's how you draw near to God. Psalms tells us in 37:4 says, take delight in the Lord and he will give you the desires of your heart. We love that verse. That's one of the ones we put on plaques. Delight yourself in the Lord and he'll give you the desires of your heart. But let's break this down. Delight yourself in the Lord. Know what that's really saying? Fix your heart on God. Set your heart aside for God, and he will give you the desires of your heart. You know what your desire of your heart is if your heart's fixed on God? It's God. So as we fix our, as we set our heart on God, we get God. We experience God. And so if you're thinking, man, my relationship with God has been so dry. I feel like I haven't really heard from God. I don't experience God. Where are you, God? I would say, fix your heart on him, and you will get him. You want to get elevated to the holiest place? Cleanse your hands, purify your heart. Which really means, don't be living the lie of saying you're about God, but you're really about other things. You want to draw near to God? You want him to draw near to you? Cleanse your hands, purify your hearts. Meaning, don't be double-minded. Don't be like, oh, I'm about God, but I'm also about being after multiple things. You want to draw near to God? That's how you deal with that. Purify your hearts by being about God alone. Fix our desires, our hopes, fix our heart, set our hearts on God, then we will experience God. And as we do that, we set our desires on God. He gives us the desires of our heart, which is him. This is not a mechanism to get what we want. Well, it is, but it's setting our want on God. Because a lot of us think, satisfy the desires of my heart. Well, my desire of my heart is that relationship. I want that relationship. Or the desire of my heart is that job. Or the desire of my heart is children, or the desire of my heart is health, or my desire of my heart. It's not saying that. It says, fix your heart on the Lord, take delight in the Lord, and he will give you the desires of your heart. That when what we're really about and what we want more than anything else, not just more, but the only thing we're really after in our life is God, that's when we get God. We get to experience him. You might be thinking, okay, Tom, I feel like you should put the bar way up there. Like, let's be real, I do desire these other things. Like, if this is something you really want us to practice, what does it look like? Well, that's what we're going to be talking about these next few weeks, about desiring God more than anything else, about fixing our hearts, fixing our heart on him so that he fixes our heart. And what we're starting with today, what I hope I've done in you today and what God's been doing in me is giving me a desire for it. Choosing it. Say, that's what I want. I want that in my life. I don't want to be about these other things. I want to be about God. I want to fix my heart on him and him alone. That's what I want my life to be about. And just starting with that desire, and I know God has honored that, is honored by that. So it poses a question. As we start 2018, and we've already made resolutions, we're kind of thinking about things we want to see change in our lives, what if we made our resolutions based not on what we want to see out of our lives, but what God would want to see from us? What if that drove our resolutions? Crazy, right? I mean, what if we set our resolutions based on what God would want to see in our lives? And if we did, I guarantee you, he would want to see a heart devoted to him. And that's hard work, is deep work. It goes deeper than the behavior stuff. But here's what's so great about it. As we change, as the heart changes, the behaviors change. That's when you actually will see behavior change in your life, is when God does that work in your heart. We dedicate our heart to him, and he does that work, and then that's when the behavior changes. So this is the means, actually, to the behavior change, is going not just to the symptoms, not to the surface, but allowing God into the deeper, into our deeper self, into our hearts. And so the next few weeks, we're going to be talking about this, the hows, the whys, the how it all works. We'll be talking about that more throughout the series. But I want to close with this encouragement to you to commit 2018 to the transformative work of committing your heart to God. Committing 2018 to the transformative work of committing your heart to God. To offer God your heart, to submit it to him, and watch him work. And what's crazy, again, it may feel like, well, yeah, but what about these behaviors I need to work on? Well, that'll come as you submit your heart to him. This is the key to true life transformation. So my hope for you today is that you see that, you acknowledge it, you prioritize it, and you want it in your own life. Because I know God is honored by that. I want to close by praying for us, and then we will be dismissed. Let's pray.